The question about abortions, it has been hotly debated in recent weeks. You know, there's one side that says that abortion should be permitted because a woman should have right to decide what to do with anything in her body. And since a child is in her body, therefore, she should be the only one making the decision. And then there is another side that says that abortion should be prohibited because life begins at conception. And therefore, if you abort a baby, you are murdering a human being. So the question is, where does Torah stand on it? And also, we know that the Torah primarily is only giving laws to the Jews. The question that many people ask, okay, if you Jews don't eat pork, that's fine, that's your choice. But why would you ever make a law that the whole country is not allowed to eat pork? Because we live in a non-Jewish country. Jews are only 2% of American population. So let's say if there would be a law that nobody is allowed to eat pork, would Jews support such a law? Well, me, as an observant Jew, would say, I don't see any reason for non-Jews not eating pork. Let them eat it. And I would not support such a law in the whole country. So people ask me, if that's the case, then why does Torah have any say whatsoever about what non-Jews allow or not allow with regards to abortions? So we're going to be talking about all this. The key issue that we need to understand is that according to the Torah, our bodies do not belong to ourselves. According to the Torah, our bodies are given us as a loan to use for a specific purpose. And therefore, anything we do with our bodies should be in conjunction with what is told to us by the one who gave it to us. This is the source of many laws. For example, Judaism prohibits tattoos. Judaism prohibits mutilating your body. The Torah is prohibiting unnecessary medical procedures. The Torah is telling us that we are not allowed to pain ourselves. There are some traditions where people purposely cause physical pain to themselves. The Torah says you are not allowed to do it. So there are things that Torah is telling us we need to do with our bodies, like circumcision, like fasting on Yom Kippur. And then there are things that Torah is telling us we are not allowed to do with our bodies. The key is that it's not that you are not allowed to do anything with your body. It's you are only allowed to do with your body the things that God is telling you to do. So yes, fasting on Yom Kippur causes some discomfort. Yes, circumcision causes some discomfort. By the way, it causes far less discomfort than some people think. Actually, I've recently been at a bris where a baby slept through his own bris. So the point is that there are some things that the Torah is telling us we need to do with our body, and we have to do it. But besides for that, we are not allowed to cause any harm to our bodies because our bodies don't belong to us. Our bodies belong to God. Just like when you borrow someone's car and he's telling you, listen, you could use my car, but this and this is what you need to do with it. Fill up only with this and this gas. Do this and this. You're supposed to do what he says. If you are driving his car and you're saying, you know what? I actually think that this car is going to work better if I will replace, you know, this and this. You probably should not do it without speaking to the owner first. So the same thing with our bodies. God gave us our bodies for the time while we are here. We are supposed to use our bodies only in the way how he tells us. And even if we think something is going to make our bodies better, we should not do it without consulting with the rightful owner first. And this is why also the Torah is telling us about abortions, because even if the child is inside the mother's body, even if you consider an infant as a part of the mother's body, the issue is still there because the mother is not allowed to do with her body whatever she wants. The question is whether this infant is a part of the mother's body. And the interesting thing is that according to the Jewish law, this infant is an independent person from the moment of conception, from the moment when the mother becomes pregnant. This infant is an independent human. And this is why we are allowed to terminate abortion in some instances. What do I mean by that? If this infant is an independent person, then we are not allowed to murder him, just like we are not allowed to murder anyone else. And when the Torah is prohibiting murder, one of the times when Torah is speaking about prohibiting murder, prohibition of murder, and this is when Torah is not speaking to the Jews directly, but to the all mankind in times of Noah, it says, killing a life inside a life, which is specifically referring to killing a baby which is inside another person's body. So this is why we know that Torah's abortion laws are both for Jews and non-Jews. Because when Torah is speaking about murder, one of the times specifically saying killing a life inside a life, and this is even before Jews came into the picture. This was before Abraham, before the first Jew. But I also said that because fetus is considered an independent human, this is why sometimes abortions are permitted. When is it? If there is a person who is breaking into someone's house or meets someone in a dark alley on the street and he's threatening someone's life, what is the law? Not only you are allowed to kill him, you are obligated to kill him. If there is somebody who's only threatening someone's life, you are allowed to kill him. And this is the law with every person who is walking on earth. So guess what? This is also law with every person who is inside his or her mother's womb. Which means that since this fetus is considered to be an independent life, independent human being, this is why the laws of an independent human being is also applying to him. And if he is threatening, even only potentially threatening the life of the mother, then we are allowed to kill him. We are obligated to kill him because according to Jewish law, he is considered to be a potential murderer. What if the baby is conceived due to rape? There are two answers. Number one, when the Torah is saying that the fetus who is threatening mother's life is supposed to be terminated, we are taking into account the mother's physical health and the mother's emotional health as well. If a psychiatrist who is evaluating the mother is saying that she will not be able to live like this mentally, she will not be able to be a safe person because of this pregnancy, that means that this pregnancy is also threatening her life. On the other hand, we also have to understand that a life of a person who is conceived with rape is not less valuable than any other life. I personally know people who are adults now who were conceived in rape. And they were telling me, actually one of them I know, his mother only told him that he was conceived in rape when he was already older. He didn't know that. And he was telling me that his mother was a young girl and she was under very big pressure to abort him, and she didn't. She was even under pressure to abort him from her own parents, and she didn't. And he says, could you imagine how thankful I am now to my mother who didn't abort me? The value of life is not any less because it's conceived in a rape. Rape is a tragedy, but it does not mean that one tragedy has to lead to another tragedy. Abortion is a tragedy. If, like I said, mentally, this abortion is threatening mother's life, then it's a different story. Then this fetus is considered to be a fully developed human, and that's why he is responsible for what he will cause even by existing. So if this fetus is threatening mother's mental health, and thank God nowadays we have psychiatrists who can evaluate these things and determine these things, then we need to take it into an account. And then, obviously, such places as crisis pregnancy support centers and places like that obviously are also very important in this case. Unfortunately, in our culture, crisis pregnancy support centers are considered as some evil entities. They're being vandalized and they're being looked down upon. And abortion clinics are lauded and celebrated. It should be the other way around. Abortions are needed and permitted in some circumstances. Sometimes it's a necessary medical procedure, but it is the last resort. And if we would have more pregnancy support centers, I'm sure even people who have conceived their babies in terrible situations would be able to manage much better. There is an organization in Israel called Efrat, and this organization in Israel is specifically helping mothers who are thinking of aborting their babies. They are helping them with finances. A lot of times it's a financial decision. They're helping them with emotional support. They're helping them even with place to live sometimes. Obviously, it's in Israel. It's all Jewish babies, or at least majority of them. And they have saved hundreds of thousands of lives by now. And they have a list of their babies who they saved. They even have a program of supporting them throughout their life, because very often these are single mothers. Very often these are mothers who were already in trouble when they got pregnant. Most of the time, it's not kids from successful upper-class families. They help those kids when the mothers are raising them. And some of these kids are extremely well-established, upright people, and some of them are even well-to-do financially, and many of them are very great contributors to the society. All of these people would not exist if not for this organization. And this organization actually has a special program where they show all of these people, and then they, with permission of these people, some of them are without their faces and some of them without their last names, but some of them don't mind their faces and last names shown. They specifically show which ones of them were conceived in rape. And they say that these people who were about to be aborted were saved. Rape is a tragedy, but doesn't automatically mean that it has to lead to another tragedy.